Frozen balls, NBA betting, heading into the weekend. Let's get it. We got second half action. Talk about team building now going towards the second half. Some of the, at least early signs of things that we're seeing now. Just off I get it. It's one game. So the West is wide open. Okay. And want to focus a little bit on the West because the East right now is kind of taking shape. I think the East story is a bit more clear cut. Is Porzingis going to be healthy? Yes, no. Are the Knicks going to be healthy? Yes, no. That's really the, you know, I don't want to get into the whole analysis. Yeah, if KP breaks down, something happens, there's an opening, okay? And to me, if the Knicks are healthy, they got an outside shot. Nobody else is in the discussion, okay? Until Milwaukee's going to take a while, I don't think they're there talent-wise. Team's not there. Lillard, Giannis, okay. Not enamored with 3+. Middleton's having a quietly okay year. But he's aging. I wouldn't trust him in a playoff series. They're beyond that, they're just decaying. I mean, Brook Lopez, Portis, Crowder. It's not a team that when you see, you think of playoff longevity. I don't have faith in them. Cleveland, I'll see when I believe it in a playoff series. All right, they looked so bad in the playoffs last year. You questioned it a bit. They were looking for that third guy. It was kind of LeVert. It was kind of Okoro. You know, I don't see enough strides between what they were last year and this year. I understand Mitchell's in the MVP consideration, but it's pretty much a similar team. And they went through stretches of greatness last year as well with a similar unit. So I'm not making too much of Cleveland. It's not like any of the other youth, like Evan Mobley in particular, improved drastically, right? Someone had to take a significant step for me to believe in Cleveland. Philly, we know the stuff with the Embiid's injury. It's a DOA if he's got the condition he is, and then that's it. That's your conference, okay? So I think it's the Celtics to lose, quite frankly, and the Knicks have an outside shot if they're healthy. They're a lot different now. They look that great during that stretch that you have to consider, well, if they're healthy again, and then you could add the Mitchell Robinson wrinkle. They play well against Boston. That's an interesting team. But and to me, they you know it's really the Celtics conference to lose. The West is wide open, okay? The West is wide open. We're going to dissect all the teams in the West, and we're going to decide who's the best out of the West, right? There you go. It's the title. So a lot of elements here. So first, let's start with, like, the top seed Minnesota Timberwolves, okay? What do I like about the Timberwolves? The Timberwolves have a very clean, tight 7-8-man playoff rotation, okay? And what I mean by that is, like, the puzzle pieces fit perfectly. Everyone knows their roles. There's you talk about the three needs that you need for a team, they have it in the rotation, which is shooting, defensive flexibility, and creation, right? They have all three. They have all three. I like that they locked up Conley now. There's not going to be any, like, awkward lingerness. They're open to moving guys to better roles off the bench like they did with Kyle Anderson. And now the team makes sense. Let's talk about their 8-man rotation, right? 7-8-man. So you're basically going to start Connolly, Edwards, McDaniels now, who's like one of the best wing defenders in the league, Towns, and Gobert, okay? And you're bringing Naz Reid, Kyle Anderson, and Nickeil Alexander-Walker off the bench. That's a great, clean 8-man. What, for me, is going to depend on for them to have a long run is the chemistry between Towns and Edwards. Now, like, the guy that makes me question the whole roster is honestly Karl Anthony Towns. They're not much worse without him, which is actually kind of a concern. And you got to think, okay, well, could it be different? Yes. Towards the end of games and a stretch of the keep games close, can those two create, like, a nice little 1-2? Okay, right now, it's a little bit take your turns offense, right? Where it's like, okay, now it's Towns' turn, now it's Edwards' turns. They don't really play that well with each other. They don't have, like, the Murray Jokic thing. It's still a little bit of a take-your-turn offense. Which, by the way, like, it still work, right? Boston's done it with Tatum and Brown, to be honest with you, right? It's like, okay, now it's your turn, now it's your turn. Let's run it through you. They don't necessarily have to play with each other. But I still think it's beneficial, too. I think that's, like, a wrinkle you would do, particularly when you have a perimeter talent and a big talent, okay? And, like, Towns has to be okay not scoring 20. This is, like, a classic psychological thing that people know just as basketball players, right? You don't want to have the what I call the Carmelo Anthony concept. And Chauncey Billups said this about him, so don't call me a hater. Where You want the guy who's just happy winning. He's okay scoring 10, 20 if they win, as long as they win. Melo was the kind of guy, and Chauncey said, this is quoting Chauncey, not myself, that, like, if they won and he didn't score 30, he wasn't really that happy. And to me, Towns is flirting with that. And I only say that because of the stat padding, right? Like, he wanted to go for, you know, 60-plus, 70-plus the game a few weeks ago, despite them, you know, relinquishing a lead to the lowly Charlotte Hornets, okay? So Towns is the guy that I'm like, I don't know. And look, he's a guy that I think is also softly could be on the block. If Minnesota's looking to save money, they're going to be, you know, I think a second apron now. Towns' contract is crazy, okay? And they already locked up Conley long-term. So I would worry about that. But look, the addition of Monte Morris, I wouldn't understate that either. I think they have, just in terms of the rotation being clean, they have a legitimate shot. What I would hate to see for Minnesota is just have a bad first-round matchup. Okay? And what I mean by that is, you know, they get a team like the Lakers or Golden State in the first round, right? And the reason why I worry about that is, like, look, I'm not saying there's any favoritism in the NBA per se, but it is an entertainment league, and I think you're going to start having, you don't want to get into a series of Golden State, 10 games of Golden State, the whistle might not be in your favor. And just because, you know, Curry, the legacy, I get it, and the Lakers too. So, yes, I would be concerned, just like what happened with Memphis last year, if Minnesota faces L.A. or Golden State. But let's keep it moving. Another team that I think has the second-best chance coming out of the West is actually the Oklahoma City Thunder. The reason why I like them is the talent is just insane. It is insane talent. All right? And we talked about this before, particularly with the addition of Gordon Hayward. If Hayward gives them anything, holy cow. You're talking about Shea, Giddey, Dort, Chet, Jalen Williams. I mean, you have like, I always say in a playoff series, you want to have at least two and a half guys you can run an offense through. They have like five, okay? And they kind of complement. They know how to, you know, take their egos aside or what have you. They also have a guy, Shea, who could easily be the best player in a lot of series. So to me, you know, OKC's up there now. Again, like with Minnesota, the veteran thing, everyone's going to talk about it. I think it's an overblown concern. I think the talent is too good for them. It's going to be more in matchups and how they acclimate Hayward in. The thing I get nervous about for Oklahoma City is the bench. So look, like Kaysom Wallace has been pretty good, but the guys are still young. You know, Isaiah Joe, you know, then you have the other Jalen Williams. So their backup front court is not great, which is a concern. I thought there was potential for them to add a piece at the deadline for cheap, or maybe they still could as a buyout candidate, but they definitely need a backup big. That's one concern. The other concern is, like, you know, in a playoff series with more scouting, you know, is there a route to let them shoot and play off a little bit, right? Like, Chet and Dort are really the only plus shooters in their rotation, as Isaiah Joe a little bit too. So, look, kind of a concern. A lot of teams have that. They don't have, not everyone can shoot, right? But I like Oklahoma City a lot. But they're not the second. This is the team I look at. The other team that I think is obviously probably, this team is, I'll say, let me caveat. This team is the biggest contender, and that's the LA Clippers. Obviously, the Harden joining. They have veterans. They have Leonard. They have Kawhi Leonard should be the best player in most series. And then you're going to have Westbrook, who's now, you know, playing in his role kind of nicely with everything going on. It works. Terrence Mann, Zubac, etc., right? There, as it comes with every year with the Clippers, is going to be health, okay? I think that team should win the West. It won't depend as much as matchups. It's going to depend strictly on health. If Kawhi Leonard plays every game for the playoffs, they're winning the West. They're probably winning the title. But we've seen this story, not really before, because he hasn't been this healthy in the regular season, but we've seen a breakdown of the playoffs. And they're going to need Kawhi. Harden and George is not going to be enough. Right? In the regular season, they can get away with, like, not playing Kawhi and playing those two. Not in a playoff series. Especially with how deep the West is. So they're obviously, they're to be the biggest threat, pending injuries. Kawhi is that good. And they match up with everybody, which is why it's impressive, right? Like, look, they were up in that Denver series 3-1 for a reason in the bubble. that happens again, they win the series. They're better than they were then because of the addition of Harden. Now, you could make the argument, Denver is too. They have experience. Fair. Okay? And, you know, for those reasons, I like the Clippers. I think moving on the Clippers, the next contender out West, you know, people keep talking about them. And I don't know. I think those three. So first of all, it's obviously Denver, okay? So I think there's four clear-cut contenders. It's Minnesota, the Clippers, OKC, Denver. Those four are the first tier of contenders. And each of those have about at least a 10% chance of winning the West, 10 to 15%. Obviously, some are higher, whatever, fine. Denver, they did it last year, as we all know. Yeah, they're missing Bruce Brown, but, you know, you got to figure if they get anything from Peyton Watson, who's been interesting. June Strother wouldn't sleep on him in a playoff series if he comes out of the woodworks. You know, Reggie Jackson has acclimated quasi-nicely as, like, a nice little cute backup PG there. So, a couple of interesting positive signs for them. And it doesn't matter about matchups. It matters about if they play other teams that are healthy. They're going to be relatively healthy. They're going to have the chemistry in a series. They swept the Lakers last year. I wouldn't worry about like any of that stuff like I do with OKC Minnesota, them playing the Lakers or Golden State again. I think they would handle Golden State or the Lakers like mincemeat. I think it would be, and just like they did in years past, I don't see any concerns. To me, that is a clear top four. And then you get to, so that's tier one of contenders, in my opinion. And do they all have a similar chance if I had a rank? I think it's the Clippers as the best chance. Probably the OKC Thunder, honestly, then Denver, then Minnesota. But they're all, you know, in the similar mix. Minnesota's best chance is that other people get hurt, right? And they figure out the talents thing. But if you told me they faced each other in a playoff series, you know, it depends on health, right? I think for a lot of these. But yeah, I think it's going to depend on health for all these series. Tier 2 to me, there's two teams. It's Phoenix and Dallas at 5 and 6. So Phoenix first. Phoenix, I like the pick. The Royce O'Neal pickup is solid. They're going to have to acclimate him a little bit. But I don't... People are like, oh, the big three. Yeah, they have three guys that are really good. The defense still isn't there. Like, Nurkic, as nice as Nurkic has been playing, quite frankly, he's actually not the right center for them. They needed, like, a defensive guy. They could sacrifice spacing because they have Beal, Booker, and Durant, as we all know, Grayson Allen too. But they need a better defense. They didn't get it. So I think they're really a pretender. Their best case, again, they face teams when they're hurt a little bit. KD has some series that he goes crazy. I think he's aging a bit, so I don't know if you know, he could even do the same things he did in Brooklyn where, you know, he even talks about it. He almost, like, wore down in Brooklyn. Booker's obviously have to significantly help. But, you know, that team has the same chances as the next team, which is Dallas. And Dallas to me is a wrinkle. Dallas is probably 5 on that list. So they're tier 2 still, but they're above Phoenix for me because of the trade deadline additions. You just have a lot of guys who are now incentivized to play extremely well and in a better fit situation. Everyone moves to a proper slot. So here's what I mean. It used to be like Tim Hardaway Jr. had to be like the number 3 guy. But now, and the focal shooter in their unit, okay? But when you add P.J. Washington as the defense, now you got to worry about two spacers. Now each one is going to have a little more ease to shoot. There's not as much, like, runouts, if you will. So having a lineup, having a unit that you could play where you have insert defensive 5 with, like, Derek Lively or Gafford. Gafford's been great and huge for them, too. Adding one of those guys with the two spacers and the ball handlers in a playoff series, yeah, it's interesting. And I think that team is going to be good enough to steal a few games because of their top two guys. Luka and Kyrie can carry you. And then you have the spacers that really just spread the floor for them like just freaking crazy. So that's obviously a benefit. They're going to have to figure out how to manage their defenders in that unit, right? Derek Jones Jr. now kind of goes to the side. He's still been very good. And, you know, that's the only concern there. But again, if you're, you know, and again, so it's going to be a boring game. But if you're playing against them and it's basically Luka and Kyrie yo-yoing it, and they keep the score, you know, tight enough, you could win at the end with that unit. So Dallas, to me, a threat in that. And these guys, again, they're not over 10%. They're probably over 5%, these two, over 5%. So the first four combined for, let's say, 70%, the next, even more, 80% on the first four. And then these two make up, bring it up to 90%. And now who are the rest in the West? Is there any, love the rhyming, is there anyone else that can really contend? And then, look at the two teams that we mentioned up front, right? Like, can the Lakers or the Warriors make a run? I don't think so, right? I really don't. And I'll explain the reasons for each, right? Like, you would have to get really lucky in terms of, like, matchups. So here's the route. You know, people talk, look at the politics, like, what's the road for this guy winning it? Well, this has to happen. Same thing, right? What's the road for the Lakers or the Warriors winning it? You have to probably catch your first two playoff matches have to happen probably against some combination of OKC and Minnesota. You need to find a way to get two teams that might be frazzled by the moment, and let's just be real, you're going to get the benefit of the whistle, okay? I don't think the NBA is rigged. There's going to be a sub sort of conscious in the air, if you will, where it's like it's the Lakers or Golden State against Minnesota or OKC. Who would you rather see advance as NBA entertainment, right? And that look, there's a little Sacramento Laker action still in play here, right? You have to, like, really beat these teams to beat them. That's my point. So I think, like, you don't want these games getting close. They're going to get the benefit of the call. And if Golden State or the Lakers, which is possible, you could play Minnesota and OKC in the first two rounds. That's possible, okay? And I say that because Minnesota or OKC could beat Denver. Okay, and they can beat the Clippers if they're hurt. Okay, so now you get to those rounds. You get to the second round, then you get to the conference finals if you beat those two. And then your other hope is, you play the Clippers or there's an injury. Again, there's a lot. And the teams that are up there could get injured, right? So you basically have to hope that, like, you play Minnesota or OKC in the first round. The other team beats Denver or the Clippers in the second round. And that's your route. So, for example, if you're if you get into the eighth seed, and you're the Lakers or Golden State, you face Minnesota in round one. Okay, let's say OKC drops to the fourth seed, you face them in round two. Let's say the Clippers make it all the way, and Leonard's hurt. That's the combination. You basically have to have, like, inexperience plus some injury. And by the way, Kawhi's not the only one. The same thing, when you talk about the Clippers being susceptible, Phoenix is very susceptible too, so it can happen to Phoenix too. You could beat Phoenix anyway. So I think it's really just getting through OKC, Minnesota, the Lakers, or the Warriors could beat Phoenix, Dallas in a 7-game series quite easily. I don't think the tier two teams are that of a threat. I don't think they beat Denver. So you basically have to hope that OKC or Minnesota or the Clippers, I guess, beats Denver, and then there's an injury that happens. So a little bit of luck. Beyond those two, Sacramento, I thought, was going to be more aggressive at the deadline. I thought they saw the situation. They didn't want to regress this year. And, they wanted to take a title last year by making it to the playoffs, rather. That team looks like it may have peaked. And, there's going to be a lot of concerns there in a playoff series for them. They're going to play maybe Minnesota. That's probably their best bet. But they're not in the same ballpark as the Lakers or Warriors. They haven't done it before. And they don't have a half-court guy. I mean, it's really Malik Monk, right? Like, Malik Monk has to have a crazy series. That's not realistic. And I like Monk, but they need to, like, upgrade somewhere. Or Keegan Murray shows up, but, like, it hasn't happened. So the Kings were trying to do things this year, and I think rightfully so, to elevate Murray. We talked about in the past where, Coach Brown wanted to get him more shots. He wanted him more involved in the half court. But the team has not improved. No one's organically improved. Sabonis is who he is. So is Fox. So that team is not a contender. New Orleans has the talent, right? But they've never really put it together. So do you trust that team in a 7-game series? If I had to pick a team after the Warriors and Lakers, it's probably the Pelicans. But again, they have major injury concerns. They have such a funky rotation. And there's just no continuity. The talent's there. The continuity isn't. So you might ask yourself, okay, if we got our shit together for a series and we nail down a rotation, I guess, but like, and you think the talent's there, but it's just, it needs to present itself some point in the regular season, and it hasn't. And that's my prediction for trying to figure out who's the best